Well, good morning and a very happy new year to you all. What a fantastic time of praise and worship that was. I love that. Do you know there's a roar in your spirit? I was just thinking this as I was worshiping. There's a roar on the inside of you that needs to get out of your mouth. And if you will dare to release that, I tell you, it will do you so much good. So much good. Well, the Lord wants this to be a good year. And we want it to be a good year. I think I can say that pretty confidently. And so if we will join up with him and walk through this year with him, it will be. It will be. You know, we wish each other a happy new year, don't we? And that is the guarantee of a happy new year. Just go through it with Jesus. It's a very good idea, that. Just say to the person next to you, that's a very good idea. And if you haven't already determined in your own head and heart, I'm going to go through this year with Jesus, I urge you, do that. Pray that. Make that commitment. Come what may. Come what may, I'm going to go through it with Jesus, sticking close to him. You know, we started off singing a song, didn't we, about Shepherd of my soul. In Psalm 87, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, who set his heart on pilgrimage. And actually the amplified version of that says, blessed and favored, greatly favored. And frankly, who doesn't want a blessed and greatly favored year? Of course we do. And the caveat is setting our hearts stray. We have to set them on pilgrimage. Well, that isn't the message for this morning. It's just a little freebie, just a little appetizer. The main message, I have to say, is a belter. As Pastor Judith said towards the end of last year, we were seeking the Lord for his word for 2019, really, because we want his word's a lamp to our feet, isn't it? And a light to our path. And we want his light at the start of the year. Really, we want the long-term forecast of what he's saying for this year. Because we want understanding and we want his direction. And so we need his word. It's not an optional extra. You know, your personal life, it's not an optional extra, the word of the Lord. We need it. We actually live by it. We thrive by it. We're upheld by it. We know what to do by it. We just need his word, his now word. And really, you know, as I'm going to share in a moment the word the Lord's given us, or the forecast he's given us for the year. And I feel like I'm about to give you a present. You know, it is a gift. It's like the best gift you're going to receive this year. Because it's life-changing. And it's life-saving. You know, and frankly, you just need to take it and receive it with a big smile on your face and a thank you very much. So without any further intro, the word of the Lord for 2019 is... look up. It's time to dream again. I'll just give that a moment to sink in. Look up. Take it personally. It's his word for us together, but it's also his word for us personally as individuals. For you, look up. It's time to dream again. So don't receive this as a word from man of human origin. Receive this as a word to you personally from God himself, because it is how it is. And if you do that, if you welcome it, Thessalonians speaks about welcoming the word, not as a word from man, but as a word from God. If you will welcome this as God's word from you, you'll honor it, you know? You'll pray it, and you'll see how you can apply this to your life. And we will help you do that as we go through the year. But we're going to take the first part first, because that's the order it came in. And the first part is look up. You know, it's a really, really, really important part to this message. Look up. We need to do this. Just say to yourself, I need to do that. Look up. I need to look up and I need to look at him. Because life, circumstances, flesh and the devil, quite frankly, have the ability to get us looking down. Our eyes off of him and looking down. Down onto all the negatives, onto the sin, onto failure, onto disappointment, and we go downhill, and it's just kind of trouble. And the Lord's answer to every single one of us, knowing intimately the details of your life, is look up. Look at me. Get your eyes off the problems, no matter how big and no matter how painful they might be. Look up and look at him. Back onto him. Now, Jesus has lots of names, but if you like, his kind of two main names are Jesus and Christ. Jesus means salvation. Christ means anointed one. Think about that. He, our Jesus, is anointed to save. He's anointed to save you, of course, for eternity, but not just for eternity. He is anointed to save you in this life, in the here and now. But that starts by looking up. Not looking down, but looking at him. And we're going to look at some really well-known verses in Habakkuk. You'll know, probably can guess where I'm going. If we could just go back to the previous. Thank you. I just want to give a bit of background before we get into the scripture. Habakkuk was living in a really difficult time. It was national crisis. There was war. There was violence. People were oppressed. People were depressed. Trouble all around. And that trouble and strife around him kind of got into him. Do you know what I mean? The trouble and strife around him got into his head and into his heart. And that can happen to us, can't it? The trouble and strife around us, if we don't look up and we don't go to the Lord, it kind of grinds us down and it gets onto the inside of us. And we lose our peace. I think it's probably one of the first things to go. We lose our peace and we lose our joy and we lose our hope. As time goes on, we lose our hope that things can even be any better. And if hope goes, frankly, you nosedive very quickly. I'm sure many of us have experienced that. If hope goes, downhill quick. And that is what happened to Habakkuk. He was in a dark place, full of anxious thoughts, full of probably poor me, why me, because that often goes that way as well. But he'd lost sight of the Lord. He'd lost sight of any hope and any change. Any hope of a better future, really. And then he has this one good thought. And his thought was, I need a new vision. I need a new dream, if you like. And not any old dream. I need a dream from God. It all looks like this. As far as the eye can see, it is dark and it's not. There's no light on the horizon. This is grim. But this one good thought said, I need a dream. I need something on the inside that is going to take me through. And let's look at Habakkuk 2, verse 1 together. We got it on the screen here. He said, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. Now, I find this quite an interesting verse. He knew he was in a dark place. He knew he was in an anxious place, a wrong place, really, in his heart and in his head. And as I've said, there probably was some self-pity and some complaining. There was definitely some doubt and some unbelief. And he knew, as bad as it is, I know I need correcting. He knew that. And we need to learn from that. When we lose sight of the Lord and we get heavy-hearted and we become problem-focused, actually, what we need is a correction from the Lord. But I tell you what, it's a correction back to life. When the Apostle Peter was preaching first to the Gentiles, it said God granted them repentance unto life. And this correction is back to life. It's back to God's dream. It's back to hope. You know, when his correction comes, actually, it's the difference between night and day. The light comes on, hope's restored, vision's restored. His dream lands, you know, and you're lifted. You're lifted. Verse 2, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. So the vision came. He said, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. So we're to write the vision down. You know, sometimes the Lord speaks and we're quite quick to forget. We just get on with the course of the day. We get to the end of the day and we're like, what was it? What was it he said? We need to write it down. He's like, treat this as precious, keep a record of it. Because you need to meditate on this so that it's committed to memory and that vision kind of becomes part of you. You start to carry it. You know, in different parts of the day, you remember it and you start to pray it. As you're walking along and you remember it, you start to see it. Last year, I went through, I know most of you know about this, but such a tough time. And I could really identify with one of the verses the Apostle Paul speaks about when he says, hard pressed but not crushed, struck down but not destroyed. It's never a verse you ever want to identify with, but let me tell you, I could identify with that. And I just had so many battles in the soul, but the Lord was so faithful to me, so near, so faithful in that time. And I was upheld by the word. I can stand here and testify to you. His word painted a new picture in my heart. Changed my world, I'm telling you. He reshaped my world with his word. And I got joy and peace and hope for a good future because I clung to him like my life depended on it. Because I tell you what, it did. And it does. And that word continues to uphold me. And I live with that internal word, which is why I've not gone down. Praise God, I've been upheld. And, you know, he's enabled me to go through in such an amazing, amazing way. But I had to go to him. I had to give him the time to reshape my world with his word, to give me a new vision that I could write down and pray and think about and carry and see, you know. And I've chosen to believe it. And I've chosen to speak it, and I've chosen to pray it. And I tell you what, that internal vision in me has got me on my feet again and enabled me to run. And that is the ability of our Jesus. That is the ability of our saving one. His vision on the inside gets us back on our feet so that he who reads it can run with it. And you know, unbelief and anxiety and self-pity and all these kind of toxic conditions of the flesh, really, they zap your joy and they zap your strength. And if you go with it down that road, you kind of just slump in a corner somewhere, don't you? But God's vision in us has this lifting ability and this moving forward ability. It's almost like your own legs aren't carrying you. It's just somehow grace, amazing grace, like Pastor Judith spoke about. Hope returns. And a confidence. Well, God, you've said it. You can fulfill it. I don't know how to get from A to B, but you can. You're faithful and you're able. When Pastor Judith was in hospital in Turin, and it was looking highly likely that I would be the one bringing the New Year message, I was just with the Lord in the hotel room. And you know, the Lord was so gracious to me. He started to download things that I was writing. I only brought a little jotter with me. And I just started to write things down. And I had this vision of being in a cut-out hole in the side of a mountain, in a rock. And straight away, I remembered Moses. You know when Moses asked to see the Lord's glory, and the Lord put him in the cleft of the rock. And he said, I'm going to cause all my goodness to pass before you. I thought, I love that. I'll take that. I could do with some of that, you know. But I knew that it was a word for us, you know. I praise God. You know, I haven't lost sight of the goodness of God. I've never actually questioned the goodness of God. It's kind of this concrete assurance that I have. No matter what, I know God is good. I know the devil is bad, and I know people at times are terrible. But God is good. Okay, that's this rock. I'm on it. I'm not moving from that. But the Lord said to me these two things. He said, I want to restore confidence in my goodness. And I want you to dream again about my goodness. And I just want you to receive that as God's word to you. Because I believe with all my heart it is. He's saying, I want you to dream again of my goodness. Time delays, disappointments, even wrong dreams can cause us to question his goodness. It can even destroy our confidence or trust in his goodness. And if that happens, you kind of accept or tolerate a less than life. Do you know what I mean? Getting by but never conquering. Existing but never really living. Just going through the motions, tick, tick, tick. Going through the days, doing all the practical things. Existing, ticking over. But not the Jesus life. John 10:10, Jesus said, I've come that they may have life. And life in all its fullness. It's a full life he died to give us, you know. And if confidence in the goodness of God goes, you can't. Life just whittles down to a less than life. It's certainly not a full life. It's not a more than enough life. And he wants us to again get a vision of a more than life. More than enough health. More than enough joy. More than enough strength, more than enough wisdom, more than enough, more than enough, more than enough of everything you and I need for this life and for godliness. So that our cup runs over. I also had this vision of a glass filled up to the top and running over. And actually, we've got the next slide. You know, in Psalm 23, it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It's not that we don't have enemies. King David had many enemies who were out to kill him, and yet he could say, in the presence of my enemies, you've anointed my head with oil. I'm so blessed, my cup's not just full, it's so full, it's running over. And that is what he wants us to know and experience. You know, not just half full. Look, we've all met half glass, half full people, glass half empty, misery. He wants us, my cup is full and overflowing. I'm so blessed by the goodness of God, it's spilling over. So that, think about it, the joy in your life spills over and blesses other people. The peace, really, in your life, the ability to bring peace in a storm, not only blesses you, but blesses them. I've experienced that many times. Just an ability, because God is on board here, of walking into a room where there's, you know, you can feel it sometimes, can't you? It's tangible, the tension, strife in a room, and just the ability to change the atmosphere, just because Jesus is in me, you know? And you just start to speak positive, and you just start to speak a different outcome, or even sometimes just the wisdom of God for scenarios, and it's suddenly like, oh, okay. People start to grab onto that and start to get a vision for that. And so the goodness in our life needs to spill over. I had this word as well, showcase. He wants to showcase his goodness, put it on display. So his goodness in our lives is really seen by other people. And you know, that's been his plan right from the very beginning, that there's this clear difference or clear distinction between God's people and the rest of the world. You and the rest of your workplace, you know? So that people wake up. They observe the goodness of God in your life. They may not even know that God is the source. But over time, they'll wake up and they'll start to think, hang on a minute, they go to church. Hang on a minute, they say they're a Christian. Hang on a minute, could there be a link here? Could there? Just maybe. You know, they wake up to his goodness, and his goodness leads them to repentance. Because, you know, it's possible. It happens. The goodness of God leads people to repentance, and we need to believe for that. Have faith in that. Why wouldn't you put your faith in a God that's that good? He daily loads their life with benefits. You know, they're pushed. They're coming under the same opposition and resistance that I am here, and yet somehow they're different in it. Somehow they're walking freer and lighter. You know, they observe it. So showcasing his goodness to the world. And we all know about the goodness of God in theory, and some of us will know about the goodness of God in our experience because we've reached for him and found him. But I don't believe any one of us here know the capacity, the great capacity, the width, the length, depth, the height, the massive ocean filling, spilling over capacity of the love of God, which is more than an emotion, praise God. His love translates into action, called his goodness, him doing us good. We don't know the greatness of it yet. And I'm praying, you know, like we had at the beginning, Lord, open our eyes to see the greatness of what you want to do, an ocean of goodness to me and through me. And I believe that this is the year. Come on, look up. It's time to dream again about the goodness of God to us and out through us. Yes, there was a little ripple of applause there. We give you great applause, Jesus, for that. Psalm 27, verse 13 says this. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that's what happens. If we stop believing in the goodness of God, your heart fails, actually. You start to lose strength and lose heart. But verse 14, the following verse says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. For me, this is exactly the same as Habakkuk 2:1. I'll station myself before the Lord, set myself on the rampart, station myself, and watch to see what he will say to me. What he will say to me. Watching. Watching and listening, watching with a kind of expectation. You know, when you've got a delivery coming, I moved into a new house not long ago and I've had many deliveries. Thank you, Jesus. But you know, when you've got a delivery coming, your ear's out, isn't it? You're listening. Your ear's open for that van pulling up. You're kind of alert to it. You're looking out the window. We need to be like that with the word of the Lord. It's coming. I know it's coming. I've got a delivery coming. He wants to download his dream to me. So I'm listening. I'm looking. What are you saying, Lord? What are you saying, Lord? I want to hear. I want to have my ear inclined to you that my soul will live and that your goodness will spill out of me to other people. Because we need his picture on the inside, not a natural picture, not a natural report, not a natural process, not a natural end to the story, a Jesus picture, a Jesus process, a Jesus end to the story. Come on, it's possible. But first and foremost, we need to get his dream. That's the word of the Lord to you and to me this year. We need to get his dream, his vision in our hearts and in our minds, and we need to carry it, and we need to pray it, and we need to believe it, and we need to speak it. Carry it, pray it, believe it, speak it. Carry it, pray it, believe it, speak it, so that that dream or that vision becomes part of you. You close your eyes, you see it. You open your eyes, you still see it. You live with it. Like Abraham and Sarah, you know, when they were childless and the Lord said to them, your descendants are going to be like the stars. Now, we've left the stars up here this morning, not because we're forgetful or haven't quite caught up with the fact it is a new year and the Christmas decoration should have been put away. We left the stars up here this morning actually for a purpose because it fits the message. Do you remember what the Lord told Abraham to do before Sarah conceived? He said, come out from your tent. Didn't he? You know this. Come out from your tent. What did he have to look at? Not down, not his feet, not at his 90-year-old wife. Look at the stars. Look at the stars. Come on. Because he knows how we're made. He knows actually that what we look at affects us. Even naturally, physically, what we look at has an effect on us. And he wanted to use vision, natural vision, to bring faith to Abraham. Your descendants are going to be like the stars. Really? Amazing. Amazing. And he does the same thing today. Abraham had to catch a new vision. He had to catch God's dream and carry it in his heart and in his head and believe it. As unbelievable as it was, he had to believe it and he had to speak it. Do you remember God changed their names, didn't he? So he became the father of nations. She became the mother of nations. Do you remember? I mean, just imagine them, the conversation, father of nations, mother of nations, about one another, you know. Well, I was talking to the father of nations the other day, and he said, da, 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 da. And it would have sounded ridiculous. They're in their 90s. It would have looked and sounded ridiculous. They had nothing natural, nothing in the natural to lean on, did they? And yet, Romans says, 4 verse 18, yet contrary to hope, in hope, he believed. Hope came first. He looked at the stars. Hope came. In hope, he believed. So that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. But it all started by him coming out from the tent and looking up at the stars and catching a dream. God's dream. God's vision of something not natural. Way beyond the realms of anything natural, supernatural, God-enabled. So not a sick body, a healed body. Not a less than life, a more than life. And we're to operate like the Lord. He has a vision, he believes it, and then he speaks it. Pastor Judith was speaking about the blue planet earlier, wasn't she? He must have had a vision for our world. And the whole solar system, all the stars and planets, he must have seen it before he saw it. You know, he must have seen it on the inside before it was created on the outside. And he saw it and then he spoke by faith and it came to be. He is the creator. But think of this. To be a creator, you have to be a dreamer. Our God is a dreamer. He dreams big. He's not restricted by time or space or natural process. He has big dreams and he wants us to become dreamers. Just say to the person next to you, God wants you to become a dreamer. Not a selfish dreamer, not a self-orientated dreamer, because let's face it, the world is full of them. They don't need God to fulfill their dreams. It's just that it will come to nothing and they'll realize it stood for nothing in the end. But God dreamers, spiritual dreamers, people who carry his dream and really see, you know, carry this inner picture of his goodness to them and through them. So full up in their lives, it spills over to other people, to sad people, to hurting people, to broken individuals and families, and let's face it, the world is full of them, full of people like that. But Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They just need to hear the good news that there is a hope. His name's Jesus. Life can be better. Life can be brighter. Life can be, oh, everything it should be with him. And it's not that we're not to have a dream for ourselves. It's actually vital that you do have a dream for yourself to be blessed and to be happy and to be provided for. But it's that it doesn't end there. You know, it's to me and through me. We're to make room for his dream for other people in our lives as well. So what we look at matters. And what we, you know, like the stars, what we focus on, it really matters. And we need to look up. Look up and look at him. I've written down here things we shouldn't do, okay? So we are to look up and we are to look at him. Don't look down. Stop looking down. That's what the Lord's saying. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at your circumstances. Don't look back at history and experience. I mean, yes, look back at the faithfulness of God, but don't look back at the negatives. Scripture says, forgetting what's behind, reaching forward for the things that are ahead. Don't look sideways either. Don't look left or right. Don't look and listen at what other people are saying, comparing ourselves to them. The scripture actually says that that's not wise. Don't do that, but look up and look at him. Abraham refused to look down. Romans 4 says he didn't consider himself. He didn't consider his own body. He stopped looking at it. I mean, come on. I don't know if they'd have had mirrors. Probably not back then. But he, like, don't even go there. He couldn't. He couldn't consider his body. His faith would have spiraled. And when we look in the natural, never mind Sarah, and if we look in the natural and analyze the natural, let me tell you, faith goes out the door, doesn't it? So the word of the Lord really to us is get your eyes off the natural, off looking down, off looking back or sideways, back up. Back up and onto him. And I'm going to finish with a key scripture for us this year. One that I believe the Lord wants all of us, every single one of us, to meditate on and receive faith from. And it's Ephesians 3:20, and it says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us." Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, important word there, imagine, according to his power that's at work within us. Our imagination or our ability to dream is really important to God. He gave us this ability as human beings because we need it. He wants us to imagine his goodness in our lives. He wants us to imagine his goodness being so cup-filling and overflowing, more than enough, that it spills out into other people's lives. And I was thinking, you know that song, "Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better"? Yeah? Basically, it's summed up in that verse. The Lord's saying, you dream, I'll take that dream and I'll make it better. I'll make it more than you could ask or imagine, immeasurably more. But it's according to or in agreement with his power that works within us. And that power's faith. I believe, that's how I always interpret this verse anyway. His power within me is faith. When his faith's working, that's when I start to see the supernatural. Evidence of the supernatural. And I was thinking, I'm just going to finish with this. You know, the woman who had the issue of blood, she bled for 12 years. Often I think we skim over the details of scripture and we need to stop and consider 12 years. Look, imagine bleeding for 12 days, 12 months, 12 years. She was a social outcast because of it. Nobody wanted to be near her. She was poor because of it. She spent all her money on doctors who couldn't help her. She was at her wit's end. She didn't know what to do. Who could she go to? Her friends, ostracized. Doctors, we've done all we can do. Where do I go? But then what happens? I think she must have started to hear about some of the miracles that Jesus was doing. Maybe she even saw one or two of them. And suddenly, instead of looking down, she starts to look up. Maybe, just maybe, I could have a miracle. Maybe, just maybe, if I could get close enough to that man and touch the hem of his clothes, he'll change my life. She got her own dream. You know, scripture talks about it. It says she thought within herself, if I can reach out and just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. She imagined it. Come on. I was thinking if we could just get her up here this morning to bring a message on Look Up and Dare to Dream Again. She'd say it goes like this. You see it over there. You hear about it over here. And suddenly, hope. Hope comes first. Maybe, just maybe. And then this dream comes, this dream. Why not me? Why can't I have some of the goodness of God? She believed it. She got a dream of it. She believed it. And she acted on it. Because I tell you what, that's faith. You believe it. You know, you act on it. You carry it. You believe it. You start to speak it to yourself. And then you take a step of faith. She acted on it. She sought him out like this heat-seeking missile, I reckon. She probably followed him for days before she could finally push through the crowds and do that. What happens? Power goes out from him as she receives her miracle. Her dream becomes her reality. And so this year, with such a joy, I say this is God's word to us. Look up. It's time to dream again. For ourselves, for our families, for our work colleagues, for our neighbors. Let's just see this sphere getting wider and wider and wider. A dream of his goodness, carrying it, praying it, until that internal dream in the invisible place becomes real and visible for all the world to see. God's goodness put on display, showcased. His will on earth as it is in heaven. Why not? Come on, let's have that, hey? Wouldn't that be great? Won't that be great? Let's stand. I told you it was a present, didn't I? What a gift of a word. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Look, we can all dream. Think of it like this. We all do dream. But we all, because we're born again, we have an ability to carry his dream. We're his sheep. We hear his voice. And I believe, we believe with all our hearts, God has dreams that he is wanting to download. As many people in this room there are, that's how many dreams he wants to give. But like Habakkuk, we need to station ourselves before him. I'm looking, I'm listening. What are you saying, Lord? What are you saying? Watching and listening to what he will say. And that dream has supernatural ability to lift you up and enable you to overcome. When everything in the visible is looking difficult, feeling difficult, being difficult, it's like it's just this buoy, you know, like the things that boats are attached to. It's that. It just lifts you up, enables you to come back to the surface, motivates you, enables you to live with hope and with joy. That the future is going to be different. Because like Abraham, we consider him faithful. He said it, he will do it. We all want 2019 to be a good year, don't we? We all want it to be a happy new year. And I tell you, it's dependent on this. Looking up and dreaming again. Dreaming his dream. Carrying it. Praying it once you've received it. Don't treat it lightly. Don't treat it with any sort of disdain, treat it as precious. Pray it, believe it, speak it to one another. I started with Psalm 84, verse 5. We're just going to go back there. We're going to respond to the Lord with this verse. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. And I'd like you just to take a few moments to say, Lord, I'm doing it. I'm going to be like this man. I'm going to set my heart. If you've done it already, do you know what? You can do it again. The Lord does not mind a repeat of that one. I am setting my heart to follow you, follow close behind you this year. I'm setting my heart on pilgrimage. Where you go, I'll go. Just begin to respond to the Lord now and just pray. Commit to following him through this year. It doesn't take long. It just takes genuine. Just a simple prayer. Lord, you're not my Lord in word only, in name only. You are my Lord, and I commit to following you. Why don't you just say to him now, like Habakkuk, I'm committing myself to station myself before you, watching, listening to what you will speak. Tell him you want to hear his voice. Tell him you want to receive his dream. Thank you, Lord. Father, we honor you. We honor you as our creator. We honor you as our savior, our enabler, the anointed one, fit to rule, able to save to the uttermost those who come to you through faith. And Lord, we come to you in faith at the start of this year, and we say, we commit the days and the weeks and the months that stretch ahead, we commit them, we put them into your hands. And we pray, Lord, lead us through. We sang it at the start. Lead us through, Lord. Let us hear your voice. And let us follow you. But Lord, let us follow you not in the dark, but in the light. Thank you that the entrance of your word brings light. And we pray, Lord, that you will really bring your dream to us. That our eyes will be open, that our ears will be open to see it and to hear it and to perceive it. And that we will be carriers of that dream until that dream, your dream, becomes a reality. All of your goodness put on display, Lord, for all of your glory. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you in advance, Lord, for what we are going to receive. Let's just thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.